Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. It is Friday, Flag Day. It is the 14th day of June, 2019. Can you believe June is almost half over? That is crazy. Bad enough that it became June at all. Now it's almost half over. So tick-tock, tick-tock, summer's marching on.
Don't think you're going to stop it.
Our earliest sunrise has occurred. We had one early sunrise this morning. Yes, it's I think, 5:35 and 14 seconds. And then tomorrow's sunrise is at the same time, as early as it can go.
But isn't the solstice next Thursday,
right,
Friday?
Well, that's because the evenings are still going later into the evening, so the Earth is tilted, so it doesn't match up perfect. The solstice is the 21st, so that's when we'll have the longest day. But this is the earliest sunrise, but it doesn't lead to the longest day because sunset's still climbing into the evening a little bit later. So that's not till next week. And then, so that's the 21st. Then on the 22nd, we start winter and summer's over, and we move on from there.
Well, Flag Day, not only Flag Day, but a couple other things are going on. They'll probably have a, I'm not sure it'll be at the White House, but it might be, but it is the Commander-in-Chief, President Donald J. Trump's birthday.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
So, and I'm sure a lot of the media people will help him celebrate that.
Didn't hear anything about that.
See?
Is he on Facebook?
And that's the media in a nutshell right
he
there.
He wasn't on our Facebook feed today. All right. So Ben Reichle is here, a good local Republican, conservative. He was one of the conferees in the 85th district selection process yesterday, so we can talk about that. We hope to hear from David Rowe at about 8:40 this morning. So he's the new candidate in the 85th district on the Republican side, and he'll be facing a Democrat in the process that is scheduled for August 20th for the special election to replace Fred Keller, who is now a U.S. congressman. So that's coming up. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I have done on many occasions. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Get yourself pumped up with nitrogen. They'll check everything you need to know for the vehicle, gets you ready for a road trip. Maybe you're going back down to Harrisburg for another big governmental meeting. Ben goes to a lot of those, so he takes his Sunbury Motor car to the Quick Lane, say, I got another road trip. They check the belts, the fluids, the tires. They pump them up with nitrogen and get them out the door in a big fat hurry, and he's always happy for that. You can make an appointment at sunburymotors.com, or you can just call, or you can just show up. Either way, you always get super service at the Sunbury Motor Company. Quick Lane.
You do.
And if they tell you that, Ben, I'm sorry, 196,000 miles is all the farther this car can go, then you just look for a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln car or truck. They got a real nice Ford Ranger right on the corner of the lot there. That's got Lawrence written all over it. Gold, like a goldish bronze color.
I don't see you.
Yeah, I don't see color that well, but it looks nice.
And they might as well walk out this morning and put sold on that, right? You'll be there this afternoon.
Put that on the antenna. Is that where it goes? Or onto the windshield wiper.
That's right. You'll be there.
Okay, that's right. We'll get that. Yeah, they're 40-ish, so that's reasonable. That you might think, oh, 40, that's a lot for a small pickup truck, but it's a mid-sized pickup truck, and it is a ton of truck with fabulous new technology, super light, high gas mileage, just the perfect vehicle.
They're not pickups anymore. these are sedans that are elevated.
Right,
and you get in the F-150 or the Ranger, you drive that, you're in an elevated sedan. That's how good the rides are. Plus, very functional. For you, you're doing lawn work. You're doing taking the trash out.
How do you know?
Spring cleaning. I see you down on Broad Street every now and then. But, you know, the functionality of these vehicles. Plus, you got four-seaters. You got the front and the back seat. So you look at where the car market's going, particularly Ford in Sunbury Motors, you're going to see SUVs and you're going to see pickup trucks, and you're going to see efficiency in gas mileage.
Yeah, 30 miles to the gallon is the upper average, and then on the highway, 37 is what the sticker says on the highway.
Get down there and see on 4th Street, see Jeff Clock. Then you got the Lincoln guys over there, the Hyundai and Lincoln guys, just sort of maybe a 9-iron away. And then for the long drivers, you can get over to the Kia store.
Jeff Clock is one of the salesmen there?
I think Jeff Clock is the straw that stirs the drink over there.
Oh, okay, so he's the sales manager. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll look him up. Or Mike DeFeo, we know him over there.
Yeah, Mike's over there.
Ernie or Austin over in the Kia dealership.
Kia. Yeah, that's right. Ernie and Austin are over there. Ernie can give you some tips on some craft brewery if you would like to. That's a hobby of his. So, Sunbury Motors, get your transportation needs met.
All right. Sunbury Motors is our sponsor, our show sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. So check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can call us anytime you wish now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, which one individual has done. Very thoughtful email, so we appreciate that, from the initials SC. So we'll read that on the radio. One from a couple of days ago, that where the subject line is Trump. That's a different email. And one says, yesterday's show, and that, I believe, arose yesterday, so he'd be referring to Wednesday's show.
Well, I know we're going to talk about it here towards the end of the show, but also, too, we'd like to point out today's a big day in Selins Grove, where the Selins Grove baseball team is playing in the state finals, and it's going to be broadcasted on Sunbury Broadcasting,
107.
Eagle 107.3.
Come on, if you're going to promote
WKOK.com?
The Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
App, okay, that's the one.
New app.
Yeah, but you'll have Kevin Herr, and you'll have the junior chief, Ray Moyer, that's going to be up there with it. So Kevin's going to be funneling his internal Bob Uecker, doing the play-by-play, and Ray Moyer, the junior chief, will be giving his color commentary. Ray, a standout at Shikellamy, and also pitched for the Penn State baseball team back in the, I think, last century.
Okay. So, but he's grown up now, right?
He's grown up now, teacher at Selins Grove, but a real gutty team. The One Runners, I refer to them as the Selins Grove Seals. They've won a bunch of games this year by one run. Excellent game up at Central Columbia on Tuesday, where they won 3-0, so they got 3 One Runners there. But a good group of guys, and maybe at the end of the show we'll some of the standouts. But a good group that came together, and we'll see what happens today up at State College.
All right. So we thank Ben for that update. We will talk about that. It's going to be on Eagle 107 and the new Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. On the news line with us now, we asked David Rowe, State House candidate, to call us. How does that sound, David, hearing people introducing you as the Republican candidate in the 85th District?
It's an adjustment, Mark. It's definitely an adjustment, but it's a title I'm honored to have.
I appreciate that. All right. Well, thank you so much. A lot of our audience is going to be hearing about you for the first time. We know you're an East Buffalo Township supervisor. You try to be the voice of common sense there. So we know that that's an important thing. And a business person, CrossFit of Lewisburg, is your business, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So folks would know you. Introduce yourself to our audience, please. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So I've spent the past couple of years building up the CrossFit Lewisburg business. It's expanded to offer corporate wellness initiatives, health and wellness options that we've worked with through the school district and through Bucknell University, offering some Be Well Week offerings for their employees there. Being that a business owner has definitely provided me an opportunity to see some of the challenges that face business owners here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and I look forward to addressing a lot of those issues in Harrisburg.
All right. What are the big issues? You talked a little bit about them in your nomination announcement, but what do we got to attack in Harrisburg?
Well, I'd say there's two big things that are definitely hindering economic growth here in Pennsylvania, Mark. The first one is definitely that we do have the third highest corporate tax rate in the nation here in Pennsylvania, in addition to a host of other taxes that are just dragging down any sort of economic growth. The second thing that we definitely have to attack is the regulatory burdens, that is, the onerous regulatory burdens on businesses in Pennsylvania. What I would love to see instituted is what President Trump instituted, which was on the federal level, the elimination of two regulations for every implementation of one here in the Commonwealth. And little by little, I think if we can remove the shackles from business owners, those businesses can really begin to thrive.
Beyond that, taxes and lowering taxes and regulations, other things that you're uniquely qualified to talk about, maybe when it comes to businesses, you mentioned that as it relates to regulations, maybe what is a specific regulation that seems onerous? Sort of dig into these issues a little more.
Sure. You know, I don't know if I could point to any specific regulation that is harmful. I know that there's a broad range of issues facing different businesses. I know that Governor Wolf has been working on deregulating some of the occupational industry positions that really do hinder the ability of small business owners to sort of get a jump start and to flourish there. And I think that is something that the governor definitely has the right idea on, and I look forward to working with him on that.
Tell us about the conferee process. We know that Fred Keller and some people favored another candidate. What's your reaction coming out of that process?
Well, I think that I know the conferees had a very difficult decision to make, and if any of them are listening, I want to thank them. I know, Ben, you were there, and I want to thank you for serving as a conferee. I know it's a time-consuming process, and I appreciate all the time and effort the conferees put into selecting a candidate. Ben is a great guy, and he served Fred Keller admirably for many, many years, and I look forward to working with him going forward.
All right. What about the fact that Fred Keller endorsed a candidate? Does that bother you at all? I mean, especially Fred, who went into a congressional conferee election with the Republican Party favoring Jeff Wieland, you'd think he would be sensitive to the idea of the party handpicking an individual and putting them forward. Your reaction to the fact that you had one opponent before you even stepped in the room?
Well, I think that Fred is an extremely loyal man, and I think Fred is loyal to his staff, and his staff was loyal to him. And I respect Fred for having that sense of loyalty. I did get a call from Fred Keller last night, congratulating me and assuring me that he would work together with us to keep the seat Republican. And he is already helping lay some groundwork to get me connected with the individuals I need to be in Harrisburg. And I am very, very grateful for his support.
Is that fair, though, when the party selects somebody and puts them out and says, you know, this is our pick, tells the conferees, you know, you can vote and think about and listen to whomever you want, but this is who we want?
I think you're always going to have that sense. Are you referring specifically to Fred's endorsement, or are you referring to the conferee process?
The party's interest and Fred's interest in having Ben take over.
Well, again, I believe Fred's interest was based in loyalty to a staffer who served him very well for many years, and I certainly understand that sense of loyalty.
All right, fabulous. Ben, a conversation
yeah,
with
no,
David.
I would say you have to understand the conferee process and how it works, and you know, I would say being involved down the third conferee process, I would say, David, both you and Ben Rank were both qualified, and I think it was as close as it was, but the party is unified. The party is unified coming out, and we'll look forward to you being sworn in Harrisburg coming up here August 20th, and I think your take on Fred's loyalty to his staff, and most politicians are pretty loyal to their staff. They work, I say day to day. You know, politically, you're on call 24/7 for the most part when things are happening. But you know, the conferee process is a process that's not perfect. But Mark, when you say fair in politics, I'm not sure fair and politics go in the same sentence.
So just expect it to be unfair. That's
no, I think the Republican Party's in Union Snyder County has picked a person in David that has got to go out and be victorious coming August 20th. So, David, I know you've got logistics that you're putting together, and you'll be around the 85th District. It's a little parsed up in Snyder County, but you know, it's going to be you're going to put your team together, and the groundwork's going to prove the success for the election.
Is that a question?
Yeah, thank you, Ben. And I'm definitely looking forward to laying that groundwork, to meeting more people in the area. I was approached by a number of the conferees from both Union and Snyder County last night, offering their support and their assistance in this race going forward. So I'm very excited to run a unified campaign and keep this seat in Republican hands.
Yeah, and you were there, and of course, after the vote was the vote, everybody was together and moving forward to get you elected. Filling Fred's seat. Fred filled Russ Fairchild's seat. So, we're certainly looking forward, particularly in Snyder County. But it's really the 85th district to the Republicans in the 85th district to getting you elected and sending you to Harrisburg.
I appreciate that, and I just want to mention going forward that I think the Republican process for this, though it seems a bit convoluted, and it is, really does shine a light on the difference between the Republican process and the Democratic process, where the Republican appointee is chosen by the people locally on the ground, whereas the Democratic appointee, to my knowledge, is a top-down decision made from the state level. So I just want to thank the Republican Party for doing such a good job in maintaining their connection with the local individuals who do the work, put the work in, and know the candidates best.
And David, one thing I think that's going to be important here is whatever spare time we can get, I'm going to volunteer Mark Lawrence for a. I'd like you to put him through maybe a 6-week CrossFit program here. we want him to not to feel the Bernie Sanders burn, but we want him to feel the CrossFit burn, and I think that would. Be something that we could get together on, and I think Mark would be a very, very good person to put through your program.
I would be honored to have Mark there. Mark, you got my contact info. You give me a call, and we'll make that happen for you.
I would love to do that. And
well, you know what? We'll throw Kevin Herr in. We'll you and Kevin. We'll do maybe a Sunbury Broadcasting CrossFit, David. And we'll have CrossFit with your legislator. Get through August 20th, and we'll have a little CrossFit with your legislator.
Now, the question, Ben, is do I need to wear a suit during that?
No, but you'll probably have to have a little oxygen canister if we have her in there. So I think we can get that going. But no, like I said, you got a lot of groundwork to get sewn up, but you have a good solid base. And like I said, this is the Republicans in the 85th district. This isn't a county. This is the 85th district.
All right, David, can you stand by for a few moments while I take care of our sponsors, and then we'll ask you a couple more questions about the big issues in the district?
Absolutely.
All right, so you stand by. I'm putting you back on hold, and we're talking to David Rowe. If you have a question for him, this will be his first open forum as a candidate for 85th District State House. We're going to ask him about the big three there. We're going to save Lance the trouble of calling in and ask about the death penalty, gun laws, and abortion, because those are what he always asks.
Well, we might
any.
Throw DUI in there, too.
Oh, DUI, that's true. Yeah, good point. Boy, you remember Lance pretty well. So we'll talk about that. One of our listeners sends a note and says, will he be a full-time State House member? So we're going to answer that question when we come right back.
It's been a great spring at Sunbury Motors Kia, and they want to keep the strong momentum going into summer with the Summer Sticker Sales Event. Summer is our favorite season, and you'll agree with these great deals. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199 a month for only 36 months with $1,600 total due at signing. Save over $6,000 on a 2019 Sereno LX, now just $27,301. There's $5,000 in savings on a 2019 Kia Sportage, now only $21,901. Plus, get 0% APR financing for 66 months on select 2019 models. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, making it the best summer ever at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term is 3 months. 10,000 miles per year. $1,600 total due signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required. Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 6/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Well, Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark, 1-800-795-9565. I shortened that commercial break a little bit in honor of David Rowe, our guest who's on the line. He's the new State House candidate. If you have a question for him, 1-800- I think a truck keeps going by the CrossFit place there. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners asked, will you be a full-time state representative if elected? We know you got a good business thriving up there, so tell us about that, please, David.
Oh, absolutely. A full-time legislator without question. I have a number of very competent staff that I'm very fortunate to have at the business, and we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago when this process started. I shared with them my intentions and let them know that if I was successful, I was going to have to be stepping away from the business, and I have some staff ready and waiting to step in, fill my role, and run the business in my absence.
All right. Death penalty, gun laws, and abortion. One of our good listeners, Lance, always asks about those because that helps set a candidate apart. The death penalty. Do you favor the idea of using a death penalty for individuals convicted appropriately?
The death penalty is one of those tricky topics. And I think that the important thing to look at is one of the drivers going forward is the recidivism rates and what we can do, prison reform. I think that President Trump started a great thing when he signed prison reform into law, focusing a lot on preventative measures, and that's something that I would like to focus on here in the state as well.
All right, so you're not gung-ho death penalty. You think there may be other ways to examine and better deal with crime rather than that particular penalty?
Absolutely. I would definitely not say I'm not opposed to the death penalty, but I would definitely look at it as a last resort option.
All right. Gun laws. Common sense changes in gun laws, to use Senator Toomey's phrase. Common sense gun law changes that would make us safer. Do you see any of those possible?
You know, Mark, I think that the Second Amendment exists not only for the rights of hunters and individuals, gun collectors, but the Second Amendment was initially created to ward off a tyrannical, out-of-control government. And I think that any time we look at gun control measures, all we are doing is tipping the scales against the citizens who need to remain armed to serve the purpose that the Second Amendment was designed for.
All right, so no particular gun law proposals that you have in mind that would be a change that could potentially make us safer?
Well, I would definitely look to expand open carry reciprocity to other states. I think that would be a very big one. I think there's a lot of regulations and unfunded mandates that hurt legal gun owners, and I would like to see those repealed. You know, if you are able to arm legal gun owners, I think that makes us all safer.
All right. Abortion, your campaign material when you started your campaign indicated that you were, of course, pro-life. More thoughts on that?
I'm very happy with the work that the Expectations Women's Center here in Lewisburg and other pregnancy care centers in the area provide. I've been happy to be a financial supporter through CrossFit Lewisburg of the pro-life Expectations Women's Center and a number of other pro-life groups. I do believe that all life is sacred, Mark, from conception until natural death, and it should be protected.
Are you a supporter of Transitions of PA? They have a wide range of topics that they address.
Yes. Yep, and I have worked more closely with Expectations. I'm definitely supportive of Transitions message as well. I have not worked as closely with them in the past.
All right. Any other big issues? I want to bring you here in person as soon as you can make yourself available, and we have a long list of topics that pop up regularly in Harrisburg, but any other issue that you think is super important to be talked about?
Well, I think a couple of things just worth mentioning is that when you look at the state budget, your biggest three cost drivers are, in reverse order, is third would be corrections, second would be education, and the largest cost driver for the Pennsylvania budget is the welfare program. And I think that we need to look forward to maintaining a sustainable level there by requiring work for welfare requirements and another number of other regulatory reforms that are going to make sure we're able to stay on track fiscally. Pennsylvania is projected currently under Governor Wolf's budget to have a deficit of almost $2 billion in years to come. That is not a sustainable economic forecast, and we need to be very vigilant in reeling in that spending.
All right, well, keep in touch. David Rowe, 85th District State House candidate, Lewisburg business person, East Buffalo Township supervisor. Somebody called you the voice of common sense on the East Buffalo Township board, so around here, that's a real compliment.
Well, I have full faith in Matt Schumacher and Chardray that they will be able to find a competent person to replace me.
You'll step down from that board immediately?
That is something I haven't made a decision on yet. I'm going to be talking with some of my advisors to figure out what's the best path forward there.
Okay, yeah, it's not a certainty that you'll have another job after August, so we'll wait and see. David, please text all these people back that are contacting you. We appreciate that. And keep in touch. Come and visit us in person. Come back when Joe's here, too. He'd probably like to talk to you about some of these important issues. Oh, he's going to ask you about radar when the time comes.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me, Mark. Thank you, Ben. Good to see you guys last night, and I'll see you around.
All right, appreciate that. David Rowe running for State House. We're going to take a quickie break. We'll come back when we have a few seconds left near the top of the hour.
Now's the best time of year to save more with Mahindra. And it all starts with zero. Pay zero down and 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's more for less on many of Mahindra's best-selling models, with tractors that deliver more lift capacity, fuel efficiency, and built-in weight. Hurry and save more on Mahindra today.
Save on Mahindra tractors at Hilly Ridge Sales and Service in Mount Pleasant Mills or hillyridge.com.
Now through June 30th, see us or go to MahindraUSA.com for more information.
All right, welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. You were one of the conferees. Reaction to Mr. Rowe?
Well, a good, solid candidate. There was two, like I said, being through three of these conferee processes, you know, this was one that had two candidates, and I don't want to say diminish anything for either candidate, but it was a coin flip. Either one would have represented the 85th District well, and I think David's going to go on and he'll get elected and serve well. There's going to be the Democrats are going to put up their candidate. We'll see how that works out. I'm sure Sunbury Broadcasting would offer to do maybe one, maybe two debates. We'll see what happens there. But, no, I think the conferee process is what it is. Union County and Snyder County came together afterwards, and there's a solid front to keep with the 85th District Republican, and I think the candidate, like I said, either one, David came out on top, and we'll look to put him down in Harrisburg. And in Harrisburg, it's interesting. You're coming in to the majority, so at least you have a chance to start to, you know, work with legislators on legislation. When you're in the minority, it's tough. So, again, we'll look forward to putting a Republican in Harrisburg.
It can have an impact. All right, we are going to talk more about this, the conferee process, and we have a lot of national topics. Sarah Sanders, a brought-up topic here on WKOK. This is On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Ben Reichle is across from me. He's the owner of LB Water with 220.
Just a link in the chain.
A link in the chain at LB Water, yeah, where he's among the co-owners. It's an employee-owned business.
Yeah, employee-owned business with... I think we're at 228 now, maybe a little higher.
Wow, fabulous. And obviously, every time you come in, that number's up a little bit. So a growing company, thriving underground infrastructure.
Subsurface infrastructure.
All right, I'll get the proper phrasing here eventually.
Which you don't see, we sell.
And hydrants can be little, like the spigot on the side of your house for your hose, or great big ones for the firefighters.
Yeah, yard hydrant, or you have the big hydrants.
Or what do they call the ones that are attached to a building?
Well, they might be yard hydrants or blow-off hydrants. Okay. There's little different versions there. But what you see underground, you don't see. But as long as it works.
Yeah, that's
so
the...
So if you could see underground, that's the stuff you don't see. And interesting, talking to Congress when you're discussing subsurface infrastructure, they get caught up on roads, bridges, ports, and we'll... certainly ask them how their water tastes or if their toilet flushes. Then the eyebrows raise and you start talking about subsurface infrastructure.
They don't think about that until it's brought up.
You got an education seeing what was on Duke Street. When they dug that up, you saw all those pipes underneath the ground.
Oh, it's crazy. Well, and they're getting ready to do the King Street crossing right where it goes on the Priestley Bridge. They got SCCV cable, mm-hmm. sanitary sewer, storm sewer. Verizon has a cable there.
This was the same thing at Front and Sheets in Northumberland.
Right.
Though that was right in front of our house. And, man, there was stuff under there they didn't even know was there.
Yep.
Yeah, it is just crazy, all the labyrinth of... So, and they have the pavement half marked, and now half of the utilities are marked there, but not all of them yet. So there's
more.
Yeah, there's more to do. It's just mm-hmm. it's like spaghetti. So it's something to see. But anyway, okay, so On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please check them out at sunburymotors.com. There just couldn't be anything that you need that relates to a vehicle they could not help you with. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Texting is the Text Connect system that allows us to send you breaking news nationally or locally, dead celebrities, tornadic weather, closed roads. That's the kind of message we sent one out last night that Mr. David Rowe was nominated in the GOP ticket, and we'll have one next Thursday night when the Democratic side of things pick a candidate, and that's Text Connect, breaking local or national stories, but it's two-way communication. You can send us a message anytime, too, 70236. So sign up at WKOK.com. We don't sell your phone to anybody. We don't send you any commercial messages. It's our way to reach out and tell you we've posted something at WKOK.com, and you might want to check it out. We're going to do some brief news headlines here, and then we are going to launch right into our open phones discussion. So maybe line up. Maybe there's a topic you wish to discuss about. I know we mentioned Sarah Sanders was in the news. She's retiring. One of our listeners says you ought to talk about Bob Bolus of Scranton. He was at the city council meeting recently. He's very upset about the fact that there's going to be a gay member of the city council. He's concerned about gays in general, but now that there's one on city council, he thinks that individual will probably have more influence than other individuals, and so that is a bad thing to him. So we can talk about that. So 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, so call us now. Union and Snyder County Republican conferees chose their candidate for the special 85th District State House race last night. He is David Rao, businessman and East Buffalo Township supervisor from Lewisburg. Committee chair Carolyn Connor tells us he's a small business owner and active community leader, chosen by a simple majority as the GOP vote took place at Country Cupboard last evening. Rowe says he will fight for stronger economic growth, a robust farming community, and work to protect pro-life issues along with other issues. Special election Tuesday, August 20th. Property owners in the Shikellamie School District are likely to see another tax increase, but the district's big budget deficit will most likely be eliminated. At Thursday's work session, the Shikellamie School Board passed a final draft budget of nearly $50 million, has a 3.5 mil tax increase. Business manager David Sinopoli.
Salaries and benefits keep on increasing. There are increases to our insurances, health care, in addition to the retirement pinch that we're all feeling throughout the state. That increases is something that we've come to expect year after year. They talked about a plateau, but we still haven't seen that yet. The state's giving us some increase this year. We've budgeted Governor Wolf's projected numbers, but again, it's not enough to keep pace with our current expenditures as they stand.
The district held the line that just a 3.5 mil tax increase, they'll take $700,000 out of their reserve fund, which has $9.5 million in it. I'll never understand that. I don't understand school boards, but I'll never quite get why they can hold on to $10 million of our tax dollars, just in case. Anyway, authorities say two people are dead from a lightning strike at a county Massey Park in Westmoreland County, the county coroner there, said a man and a woman died Thursday afternoon at Mammoth Park near Kecksburg. He says bystanders started CPR, followed by park police, but they were unable to revive the victims. He says his deputies are investigating. The names of the victims not disclosed. Strong thunderstorms were moving through the area around 4 p.m. yesterday, and there were a cluster of lightning strikes in that particular area. So you hear about that. Don't stand near a tree. Get inside. Keep as low as you can. And don't fly a kite, I guess. Lightning advice.
You hear the alerts go off on people's phones. You're in meetings, and there's, you know, warnings. So, you know, again, the information that's out there.
It's out there.
Saving lives, and people, you know, take heed. I mean, and if you're on the golf course, you know, get off the golf course if you're doing any outside activities.
Sit at the base of a tree because they get hit all the time. All right, one more story. Coinciding with Pride Month, the Discovery Family cartoon series My Little Pony has introduced a same-sex couple on the show for the first time. Writer-producer Michael Vogel told People Thursday that timing of the episode, The Last Crusade, is a happy coincidence. The episode introduces a lesbian couple, Aunt Holiday and Aunt Lofty. They care for one of the main characters. The episode of My Little Pony has already aired in Europe and will be broadcast in the U.S. Saturday. In May, the animated children's series Arthur on PBS showed the gay wedding of Arthur's teacher, Mr. Ratburn. Co-showrunner Nicole Dubuc told BuzzFeed the core of My Little Pony is to embrace what truly defines a family, and that is love. All right, we have open phones right now. We did talk to David Rowe. He's the candidate in the 85th District. Maybe you have some reaction or his endorsement of him as the GOP nominee. We'd love to hear from you. We also did ask the other nominees in the conferee process to call us today if they so choose, so please do so. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. So you say that race could have gone either way and you'd ended up with a satisfactory candidate in your view?
Yeah. The conferees are based on the last presidential vote count. And Union County's numbers gave them 9 conferees. Snyder County had a little less, I think about 48, maybe it was 51 less, or it would have been 9 conferees, but Snyder County ended up with 8. And if it would have been 9-9, that's when the real conferee process would take place. The conferee process, as we saw up in Williamsport with the 12th District race, starts out where you come in as a group. Now, in the 12th District, you're bringing in X amount of counties. Here, you had 2 counties representing the 85th, Union and Snyder. But when you have the larger, as we did, and I'm trying to remember which district we were at that time when Bill Schuster went in as a conferee, and then he got redistricted out of our area right after that. But you come in, and usually, depending if your county has somebody from, you know, a local that they're going to support, their home candidate, technically. And you go through the process, and usually the first rounds of votes are for, your favorite son or favorite daughter, you know, your person. Mm-hmm. And then the second and third and fourth gets into the conferee process where you start the horse trading, and then you see, initially votes. Then you come into the second votes, and then you see the candidates sort of weed themselves out. And, you're looking for that 50.1% to win the process. So not perfect, but a process that goes through. Wish the timing was a little different here, that they didn't need to have a special election August 20th. And wish, the way it happened, we couldn't do it. But at least the congressional process got put into the Pennsylvania primary.
That was handy.
So, this is going to cost some money because they're going to have to sit up. Plus, unfortunately, reality will kick in August 20th. Most people getting back, you know, people getting back to school type attitudes. Schools might even be in session now. It's almost like we're down in Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee. We're starting high school like the second week of August here. It seems to be creeping up early. But August 20th, an election, boy, turnout. If you could get to 30%, it would probably be good, because it's just going to be a situation of reality.
And if the Democratic candidate has some way to force Democratic candidates to vote anyway, that could wipe out the Republican advantage.
Could. Highly doubtful. I mean, you got to look at the reality. You got to look at the numbers. It's a Republican seat. That we've seen. However, back in the 80s, that did swing around until Russ Fairchild took it in 88. So there was a couple hiccups for the Republicans late 70s into the 80s.
Those are good hiccups.
No, could be. Again, it's very hard to go down as a Republican or Democrat and be in the minority and get legislation. It's, right, wrong, or indifferent. And, you have people who say, well, this shouldn't happen, or this, everyone has to work together. That. Well, it's interesting how sometimes one party working together means the other party not working with them, or, you see the situation. And if one group has ideals that the other party thinks isn't in the best interest, isn't a priority, and isn't the interest in the country down in Washington, then why are you working for that? If you're a Democrat and the Republican, and you think the Republicans have something that's not a benefit to your priorities as a Democrat, and if you can't sway them, why? Or vice versa, why are you working with this? So when people talk about this bipartisan, well, exactly what is bipartisan? If your goal, as we see, on the Democratic Party, is to, try to get health care for everybody. Okay, if that's a true goal, then they should be at Camp David or the Greenbrier or somewhere huddled in a room saying, okay, this is what we think we can do. This is how we want to do it. But when you're opposed to that and your priorities aren't that, there's no bipartisan or there's no bipartisanship needed. Again, you look at something like infrastructure. Look at the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has one of the highest gas taxes. I think we might be third now. We might have moved from second. And the problem is...
Hold on. Hold the gas tax idea. For instance, keep that very top of the mind. I'd like to include our audience in this. Call us 1-800-795-9565. We're going to talk about the onerous gas tax in Pennsylvania in a moment. Why are gas prices always more expensive here? You go to the beach and fill up, or as close as you can towards the...
Lewisburg.
Ben Franklin. Well, that's either the beach or Lewisburg, either way. 1-800-795-9565. Call us right now. We're talking about the conferee process and our good nominee, David Rowe, who's headed to the special ballot on August 20th. Maybe you have some reaction. Am I the only person who think this conferee process is unfair when you have an endorsement from an incumbent on a particular candidate? We had that with Tom Marino endorsing Jeff Whelan. Now, fortunately, Jeff Whelan had to withdraw from the race. So that was the great equalizer that allowed Fred Keller to get in. That was patently unfair. It's unfair that Fred endorsed one of the candidates yesterday. Fortunately, voters were smart enough to see around it and to get David Rowe nominated. So what's your reaction to all that? Call us now, and Ben's about to talk about the gas tax. We'll include you in the conversation. Dial us up, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, 1-800-795-9565.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the Father of All Sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for
up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There are 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period. It's the father of all sales
going on now.
So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 924, we'll take a caller, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, 1-800-795-9565. We don't want to ignore what our audience wants to talk about.
Very pertinent email. Very pertinent.
One of them says, thank you, Shikalimi. I was worried that what I was going to do with my little raise... Isn't it time to cut spending and look at ways to save? After everybody moves because they can't afford the taxes, who will they tax? It's a crime to have the budget more for your taxes than for your mortgage.
Schools are going to have to figure it out.
$10 million reserve funds, isn't that too high? You understand budgets better than I do.
It's a lot of reserve.
Why is that even legal to overtax people to the point of you have a $10 million slush fund in your own entity?
You have a situation, and looking at the various schools' budgets around here, and believe me, not being an expert on it, but you look at Seals Grove in the low 40 millions, Shikalimi, what, 37? Let's say from 35 to 42 million, we're seeing school budgets around here. Lime Mountain might be a little less, Mifflinburg. Anyway, you look at that. These aren't even small businesses. These are large businesses mm-hmm. that are being run, and look at the personnel. But you start to break down their costs, and the personnel costs are very high. You have a good, solid economy in some ways, but you're going to have hiccups. You're going to have basically an earthquake, an economic earthquake in Snyder County with Woodmode. Now, Snyder County will survive, the area will survive, but it's going to be tough. But you have a pretty solid national economy. We have a pretty solid local economy. That's a big hole in our local economy, though, with Woodmode. But remember, there was a Pennsylvania House. There was an International Paper. There was a Celotex. Before Celotex, I think...
JPM.
JPM, yeah. But in Sunbury, there was a Westinghouse in the 50s that moved out. So, we'll survive some of these. However, the school spending, public school spending, keeps rising. They have maybe it's unfunded mandates that the government puts on them, but you look at...
Maybe it's good education.
Well, you hope it is, but we seem to keep talking about workforce development and re-educating people, which I understand for new skills, but also, are we teaching, especially in high schools, are we teaching to the jobs that are out there?
Well, I was just at the Sunbow Tech School. They're teaching to the jobs that are out there. Those welders.
I think that's a positive.
There's a big commercial welding truck parked outside the school in the spring waiting to pick up the kids as they graduate. They pick them up and take them to their...
What's your point there?
$40 an hour jobs.
What's your point there? Where were you at?
Sun Tech.
Okay, you weren't at so-and-so high school.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, it's crazy.
So how many of those people, how many of those trucks, not tech trucks, but how many people, how many IT companies are outside the schools picking those students up to go do a co-op or an internship? The point being is that public education and, forget about our area, we're pretty good to a degree. However, when students go to colleges and have to take remedial courses, that's sort of interesting. How does that happen? Now,
some students don't apply themselves.
That's exactly right. So you have to look at both sides. But in our state, when you look at Philadelphia, Harrisburg, and Pittsburgh, it's a disaster. You look at Pittsburgh education. You look at Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority. What a debacle. You look at what's going up in Scranton with the government. So... For the schools, for the school boards, how are they going to balance the economic side of it, what their tax base is doing, compared to what their needs are going to be for what they perceive as the education they need to give their students, and what product are they putting out for either the colleges or the businesses to hire? Because, let's look at it this way. You're an education manufacturer. you have this young, young skull full of mush, I think one of the radio, talk radio people talk about. Okay, is that what it is? Yeah. Talks about as a kindergartner, and you're bringing this person all the way through, and they come out at the end of the production line with a diploma. Now, how do they go and add value with their skills to society?
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Talking education. Yeah, the SunTech School had their summer camp this week. I got to visit super, super kids. Girls in the carpentry shop, girls in the culinary shop. Women are getting more than half the kids that signed up were
gender
women.
Gender shouldn't matter. Can you do the job? And if you're a left-hander, you should be able to have the same opportunities as a right-hander.
Welders are literally, as the students graduate in the spring, Bob's Welding out of Berwick is parked outside the school waiting to pick up his new workers because they're getting $40 an hour. He desperately needs. Well, and same with the trades. I mean, the Ross Constructors of the world and all the rest of them desperately need people to work. And so... If the tech schools ain't doing it, well then something's going to fall off the edge here eventually.
And there's another industry, I'll say a cottage industry, that's going to be looking for workers now and in the very near future. And we're talking about water treatment plant operators, wastewater treatment plant operators
with their certifications.
With their certification, it is an industry that needs people to get into. And we're talking about $70,000, $80,000, $90,000. Pay maybe a little less to get started, and when you're an apprentice. But there's a little industry around here, clean water, taking care of wastewater. It's a little area, and I sit in meetings, and when I'm the youngest person sitting in some of these meetings, these operators are there, and people are in their 70s. It's ripe for some young people to come in, male or female. And take over and let some of these older folks retire.
1-800-795-9565. You're going to say that the gas tax in Pennsylvania, of course, is one of the highest in the nation. It's not going to where it's supposed to go.
Well, the state police, they've siphoned off to pay the state police. Well, nothing against the state police.
How should we fund the state police?
Well, hey, guys, figure it out. How were you funding them before? And then all of a sudden, if you want infrastructure... And you're going to tax people for infrastructure, then give them infrastructure. My point with the taxes is I take this back to when I was younger, and my grandmother would give me a birthday gift, and let's say it was $20. Well, it was always interesting if you went back and says, well, here's what I bought. Thank you for the gift.
Got a nice grandma.
And here's what I bought. And I bought this shirt. I bought this, pair of shoes. I bought this. And, that's great. You spent your money somewhat wisely. Okay? I didn't go out and, eat at Biff Burger every week or do certain things. So then maybe the next time you got $22 or $25. My point about taxes, it would be great to go through. If I'm a legislator, I'm going to go through and I'm going to do... This is what your tax dollars paid for. These are the improvements. Mr. and Mrs. John Doe, Jane Doe of Pennsylvania, here's how we spent your tax dollars. We improved this. We did this. We got Westmoreland County, we improved the water system. In Juniata County, we improved bridges.
So we taxed you a dollar, and you got a dollar's worth of pipe.
You don't want a dollar's worth. You want a dollar 25%. $1.25 return on the dollars that you tax, meaning that they put a road system in or they did something to help the farmers get their product to market faster. Hey, what did you do as a legislator to help make Pennsylvania's lives better? What did you do to make your local constituents' lives better?
Oh, I have to ask that of
David
Rowe.
And then we're talking infrastructure here. Now, if you want to talk about the social programs and that, how did you help more people get off welfare? How did you help people get on to a safety net that they needed, a CHIP program? And, the people who need that safety net, how did you do that? However, I think it's an excellent point on the federal level where we saw during the Obama administration the food stamps just rise and rise and rise. And now under the Trump administration, we've seen them scale back because the economy's gotten better. But as a legislator, how did you help your constituents and how did you help your region, congressional region or your state as a U.S. senator, you know, state senator, local levels too. How did you help those constituents? What did you do to add value or make their lives better?
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're going to take another quickie break. We would love to hear from anybody who wishes to call us. Please do so now. 1-800-795-9565. We've got two emails pending that relate to President Trump, so we'll read those. Yesterday, we did talk about the president acknowledging that he would do the same thing everybody else would do, and that's accept dirt on his opponent, even if it came from a foreign operative or anybody else from any other Norway, I guess he used the example. But that's very common, although there's a lot of righteous indignation. Everybody's upset about that. So what's your thought on that? So we have the President and Trump topics. We talked about taxes going up in Sealands Grove and Shikellamy. One of our listeners sends a note, says, one of the problems with the school districts in this area is they operate like they have a tax base of wealthy suburban property owners, where the median income is $80,000. When they actually have a tax base with a median income of $30,000. It's time for these school boards to get their heads out of the clouds. It's time for the residents to get together and put a stop to this.
No, they were being polite by using the word clouds.
In the sand, right? That's what you're thinking? Yes. All right. And one of our listeners sends a note about the huge reserves that districts foolishly have. It says, with a collective reserve balance of over $4.5 billion, one wonders why certain school districts continually ask for more from taxpayers. According to Eugene DePasquale, reserve balances generally should not exceed 20% of total spending. He says, quote, certainly anything that's above 20%, clearly that's where you should start to question it. Yet 226 of the state's 500 school districts exceed that threshold in 2016-17. What's more, 13 districts with reserves above the 20% level have asked for permission to raise property taxes above the state mandated cap in at least 8 of the last 10 years. That quote's from the Commonwealth Foundation. Incidentally, Commonwealth Foundation is going to call Monday morning's WKOK Sunrise show, so we'll be talking to them. Good conservative group out of Harrisburg. And one of our listeners says, on the cusp of raising taxes again in the Pittsburgh School District, they discovered they had $187 million in reserve.
Yeah, so where does it become ridiculous?
I think, ding, ding, ding. And that would be it.
And here's the point. We have 500 school districts, and people talk about merging schools. Okay, that gets into, you know, territory and egos, and let's say, so, you know, common sense isn't going to prevail here. Parochialism is. But here's one thing you can do, and I would propose this. Two or three school districts geographically close together, okay, let's take the administration cost down. Let's say, let's merge these districts, however, have your own local high schools, but have one administrative staff at the higher level. One superintendent, one assistant superintendent, one to the assistant of the assistant, mm-hmm. one to the assistant of that assistant.
Some efficiency?
And actually, so then take you know, 2, 3, 4 schools, and let's look at where you can take the managerial parts out.
So if you're saying that if we ran school districts like a business, that one neighboring business called Bob's Wire Rope that is 1 mile from Ben's Wire Rope, the first thing they would do is one would try to buy the other so that they can consolidate. Mm-hmm. But yeah. School districts don't want to do that. They all want their own curriculum master. They all want their own treasurer. They all want their own business manager. They all want their own superintendent. They all want their own.
Where's it going to stop? And the point being that, you know, you got the people, usually the progressives on the left, saying you can't run government like a business. Okay, I'll agree to a certain point. However, you can run it business-like. That's understanding your revenues coming in. That's understanding your expenses. That's understanding what final product you have to do with your revenues and your expenses. So how can you get that? My point being that I believe with the technology advances we have, you can take the efficiencies and be very positive of it. A superintendent can oversee more than one high school for the most part. A good management team can oversee multiple production facilities around the country. Now you have your on-site people, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But you can look at the efficiencies from the top down. My point is, I think we've gotten, and we see it in higher education, colleges and universities, we've gotten a little... little large around the belly when it comes to administrative and executive costs.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. The high cost of education, enormous budget deficits, but at the same time, enormous budget reserve balances. 20% of the district around here, 20% of their money is set aside, millions of dollars that they keep of your tax dollars.
A little bit of a slap in the face to the taxpayers.
I don't even see why that's legal. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We got a wide range of topics we're discussing. We talked with David Rowe, the state house candidate. We're talking school taxes now. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about Sealands Grove Baseball, Bella's Pizza, Rocco's Pizza, and
Isabella's
Restaurant are some of the sponsors of that. So we're going to read some other sponsors. But we are talking schools and taxes. Districts have huge fund balances. Why that's even legal, I'm having a struggle with that. Maybe Cindy can explain that. Cindy, you understand education much better than I do. Why is it legal for a small district, a $50 million budget, to have a $10 million surplus and raise taxes?
Well, right. The legislature did put into place a restriction that, depending upon the population of the district and the budget, that capped how much of a fund balance they could have. But of course, this all depended on people behaving ethically, right? So Pittsburgh, that was not appropriate to have $187 million. In the bank. That was, and they were just like, oh, who knew we had all this money? You know, it's farcical, frankly. So there is a limit, and the game is that as you push up your budget, right, since it's a percentage of your budget, you push up the amount of money you can have in reserve. That's the game. Every year, raise your budget, right, the amount of money you've budgeted, and then turn around, and it gives you permission to have even more hoarded money in these accounts. And then, ironically, while you have all this hoarded money, then you claim that the state doesn't fund you enough money. Mm-hmm. Help me understand this. If really the schools were starved for money, how is it they're sitting on $4.3 billion in reserves? Why aren't they using that money?
Well, and it also becomes political tennis, where you have Governor Wolf saying that education's not funded, and then you have the Republican majority in the House and the Senate saying, no, it is, and you have basically tug of war or just a volley back and forth of political rhetoric when it comes to education.
So basically what they're doing is they're saying, let's say that Ben gave me the money to run my house and I claimed my children would have to starve. I don't have any money. And Ben kindly points out to me that I have $20,000 in a savings account. What do I mean? I can't feed my children. That's the game that's being played here to just plus up these funds.
And the other part, too, is they have these funds and then you look at the disaster public education in the state capital in Harrisburg.
Oh,
you look at Philadelphia,
that is a crime.
And you look at Pittsburgh. It is a crime. And it's just ridiculous that we keep throwing money down the rat hole of public education in certain areas and it doesn't get improved. Find a way to improve it. And I'll give them a little model or a template they can look at. Might not be perfect, but at least they can look at. Look what New Orleans did and the surrounding areas of New Orleans after Katrina when they went to charter and privatization of schools, and look how education has increased in a positive way down there. Not perfect,
right,
but far better than what we're seeing now in Philadelphia, Harrisburg, and Pittsburgh, and some others.
You know, Ben, there are six countywide school districts in our state, six of them. And there's no earthly reason, and so that means they only have one administration running them.
Good for them.
Across the northern tier, there are school districts which have only a couple hundred children, and yet they have all the management team in place, these people, stuck in the community
Benton
and the state dry of dollars.
Yeah, well, you're
right?
Talking Troy, Canton, Towanda up
there
in that area.
There you go, all that, mm-hmm. All of that up there. It's sinful what they're doing, you know, and it's just self-preservation. You know,
that's
Mark,
right.
The other day you brought up that superintendents are costly. Sure they are, because we have to have 500. Just imagine if we had done what Rendell said. cut the number of school districts in half by mandating that they combine. For example, Sealance Grove and Midwest. Really, would the earth open up and swallow us all alive if that happened? No. And then have one management team that runs both those school districts. No one says shut a school. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the administration, which is why you see all this screaming and caterwauling.
Well, it's
now,
jobs.
I wanted to bring up another issue, though. I saw
well,
that,
we have another
and I'm
caller
happy
waiting.
To see this, that the Pennsylvania
Cindy.
Senate approved...
Cindy, hold on. We got another caller waiting, so 30 seconds, just 30 seconds. So go ahead.
Senate Bill 25 gave... nurse practitioners the right to practice independently after 3 years. Sadly, Senator Gordner voted against that bill. Pretty disappointed that he did that. Thank you.
All right, noted. Thank you very much. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
And we might add to what Cindy just said about Gordner, he used to be a Democrat before he saw the demographics and things changing here in his area, and he switched to Republican. But the main reason I called was Ben, you made some comments here that really touched me and moved me to call in. And one was you were speaking about the equipment operators at the water treatment plants,
mm-hmm.
and that they're getting old and they need replacements. Well, you know, people like that aren't easy to replace. And there's a lot of opportunities across this entire country, not only Pennsylvania, that the older people that did the work with their hands are retiring, and there's tremendous opportunity for young people today. And right here in our area, we have Penn College. You can go up there and you can get a degree and all kinds of things that you can get out and you can get a job pretty much immediately that can support a family and a decent way of life. And, you know, to send, you know, your kids off to, you know, these private schools or these liberal arts schools to get these degrees that, in my mind, they really don't pay for what you're getting.
And, well, I would look at this. Thaddeus Stevens down in Lancaster, very, very good technical school, and some of the other technical schools. I'm going to put this out. Penn College is Penn State Williamsport. The cost of Penn College has gone up quite a bit, and there's a lot of frustration among the people who are trying to hire technical people out of there because, yes, it has all the potential to be very positive, but Penn College has priced themselves at a point that some of the technical side of it is
$20,000 or $30,000
is in the gray area. But the potential is there, and schools like that. The technical colleges can 2-year degrees, 4-year degrees, Harrisburg and that. So that market's out there for people to take advantage of and then go get sustaining jobs that you know they can move on with their lives, with families and whatever they choose to do.
And I'm glad you mentioned Stevens Creative School because my son-in-law went there and he has a technical job that he's supporting my daughter and grandchildren with.
Oh, good.
Great
for him.
School.
Family sustaining jobs.
He's a smart guy. I just wish I could get him here to fix my stuff more often. But and the other thing you mentioned about the cost, the money going into the schools. I believe that we do need consolidation, and I think that by county we could really easily do that in many of our areas. And like Cindy just said, previous caller, we don't need to consolidate the individual schools. We need to consolidate the administration as a starter.
I would agree.
Save a lot of money there. And right now, with interest rates as low as they are, these schools really need to take advantage of their economic situation and realize
that
the cost of doing business in the future most likely is going to go up because these rates aren't going to stay low forever.
Yep.
And it's going to have an effect on housing when they go up, and it's going to have an effect on the taxpayers. And, you know, frankly, this bills that we get from the schools on property taxes, yeah, if you're making $150,000 a year, you can afford $5,000 or $6,000 property tax bill. But there's a lot of people that have houses that they just can't afford that $6,000 tax bill that's becoming common in many of the areas of this state.
All right, I found my old note. I'm merging Central and Southern. Lewisburg and Mifflinburg, Sealance Grove and Midwest, Shikellamy and Milton, and Line Mountain, Shamokin, and Mount Carmel. So we're going from 9 districts around here to 5, and that's the way we ought to be.
And I think Mike, you're talking about it. I was talking about it earlier. I think Cindy hit it. We're not talking about shutting down those schools. What we're talking about is taking the management of them, and streamlining that way. I mean, again, this will give angst to the education people because, you know, it's jobs, jobs, jobs for them. But at what point do the taxpayers say enough is enough? I mean, it's Tea Party.
All right,
tax
thank you
enough
so much.
Already.
One last indicator. Many of these elementary schools that I'm familiar with, they have closed. They built new ones. And now those elementary schools are used to house administration. There's a lot of cost in the schools that doesn't provide the necessary things to the students that we need to start attacking. And consolidation of administration, I believe, is the answer.
All right, Mike, here's the classic. I got a response from one of our listeners who says, you'll merge Southern and Central when they pry the cold, dead football helmet from my hands. Okay? All right. Thank you so much.
I hear it.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you're not going to merge them together. They're going to be separate schools. They're going to be administrative merging.
We're talking tax increases in Sealance Grove and Shikellamy and a wide range of other districts around here, and the fact that we could consolidate school districts. Kids got to go to Votech school. I just was at Sun Votech. Mm-hmm. Some of the kids in the culinary class, they need like another hour more of training, and they'll get their serve safe. And they're 11 years old, okay?
That's
so
great.
They're just doing a super job. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Folks, light them up. We'll wrap up the week with calls about education, taxes, technical schools, consolidation, saving money. Getting the superintendents
Seals baseball.
And Seals baseball.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the father of all sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to 16 grand. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
It's the father of all sales going on now.
So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Get a little baseball music going.
All right. Thank you so much, Rob. Very much appreciated. We have an email related to President Trump, which we will read first thing Monday. I apologize we did not get to that. One of
very
our good
positive one.
Listeners.
You don't want to sing happy birthday, do you?
No, I do not. Whose birthday is it? Oh, the President Trump. That's right.
Flag Day, birthday is a lot. And here we have Kevin Herr. He's going to be channeling his inner Bob Uecker for us today.
Starting pitcher for the Beaver Bobcats.
That would be Jensen.
Okay, and the starting pitcher for the Sealant Grove Seals.
That's going to be Ziders.
1:15 today, please.
1:15's airtime.
1:30 is the first pitch, mm-hmm. Sealant Grove State Championship game. I look at the matchup and I say Sealant Grove has the weapons to take this game, but this is a very formidable opponent.
This is one of those situations where you'll see if it's true that good pitching can control good hitting. That's a long-time baseball adage. The good pitching can take care of good hitting, and I think you're going to see that tonight. You got a really good pitching staff in Sealance Grove and a team averaging over 330 in Beaver coming to the plate against them, averaging 8 runs a game. As a matter of fact, their semifinal game, the Western Final, earlier this week scored 7 runs. That's the least amount of runs they've scored in the tournament right now.
All right, so they're up against what's your view on the outcome of this game and the weaponry that each side has?
Well, Kevin and I were talking earlier. If this was football, we could sort of match up teams a little bit, and that's even hard.
Using their records.
Well, and the schools. Baseball, it's a crapshoot, and it's going to be interesting though. But the broadcast is you're going to have you're going to have a game that Sealance Grove somewhat small ball. It looks like the Beaver Bobcats, play long ball. You know, a little bit of Earl Weaver. You know, they want the 3-run, 2-run homer. And I would agree. Kevin and I talked earlier. If Sealance Grove can get a lead, get up early, maybe frustrate him. And I saw the game Tuesday, a Hamburg team that pounded the ball.
All right, we've got one minute left.
Yeah, my partner Ray Moyer joining us on the broadcast. Actually joined us in the studio here. Ray, give me your take on the game today.
Well, I agree with Ben. Selinsgrove is not a team that's going to produce 6-7 runs. They need to play great defense, and the pitching's got to be spot on. If you look at Beaver stats, they are a good hitting team. And Blaze is going to really have to, you know, it's the real estate market. It's location, location, location. And he's going to have to, really find his spots. Because talking to Jim Messner last night, the assistant coach, he said this is the best hitting team they faced all year. So it's all really right. going to come down to finding the corners.
Any truth to the rumor that you're going to try and try out for the Spikes? Because that's a really nice stadium.
Spikes.
You want to pitch there because you didn't get to in college?
Well, I played at Beaver Field at Penn State, and their field was nicer because down the lines it was 350.
All right. There you go.
So hit it as far as you want. You're out.
Men, good luck. Safe travels. We'll be listening this afternoon, 1:15 on Eagle 107 and the SBC app. Thank you so much, Kevin Hearn, Ray Moyer, and Ben Reichle. I'm Mark Lawrence. This is WKOK Sunbury.